When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Final hour of the Bish and EB show of 2024 on the Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond. If you're watching us, you are watching us on the Monumental Sports Network, all brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC tech or plumber? Go to CropMetcalf.com, join their team. It is time to talk to our good friend John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. Brought to you by Golfdom. Golfdom can now custom fit you for the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway today. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Although that would be next fall because it's winter. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. John, happy holidays.
Same to you, Jason. You too, Eric.
Yeah, good thank you, sir. You
What are your plans next week for the holidays?
Well, my plans actually changed. I was going to go to Washington on Monday and have dinner with my two daughters and then come back here and have Christmas dinner with Danny. But my ex-father-in-law passed away.
Oh, sorry to hear
that. The other day. Yeah, he was 97. He had a great life.
Oh, that's a good run, yeah.
Yeah, that's a hell of a run. And the funeral is on Monday. So we're going to have to mix and match and figure out exactly what to do because Bridget, my older daughter, who this is her grandfather, is going to the funeral. So we'll have to figure something out.
Gotcha. Well, sorry to hear that. How old is Bridget now?
Bridget's 27.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
And life flies by, man.
It's well, you guys know.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got kids. You've got kids graduating from college and stuff like that. But she found her niche. She's working at a PetSmart in the dog and cat hotel. You know, where people board their animals when they go away and stuff like that. And it's the perfect job for her because she always thought about working for a vet, but didn't like the idea of being around when the animals got sick or had to be put down. She just couldn't handle that. But now she gets to play with dogs and cats all day, gets paid for it, and they're healthy. So she loves the job, and they love her. So it's working out very well.
Perfect gig.
Nicely done. Hey, I wanted to start out with some college football. First of all, and I said this earlier, props to Bob Chesney, who's the new coach at JMU in his first year from Holy Cross. Takes over Kurt Cignetti's roster. And Cignetti took 13 or 14 guys with him to Indiana, so he kind of had to do a small rebuild. But he wins 9 games. He won the bowl game last night, so props to him for JMU. He didn't struggle.
Yeah, great season.
Yeah, 9-4 and win a bowl game. So and we had him on the show when he was first hired. Great dude. But your thoughts on the games, you know, starting tomorrow night, Indiana-Notre Dame is 8 o'clock, the first game of the expanded college football playoff. And then I kind of wanted to ask you, out of James Franklin at Penn State, and they're playing SMU at noon on Saturday, and Ryan Day at Ohio State playing Tennessee Saturday night. Who's got more pressure to win this game considering their home games?
Right. Well, you make a good point. They're both playing at home. We don't know what the weather's going to be and how much it'll affect the game. But I would say Ryan Day has more pressure because of his record against Michigan. I mean, Ohio State and Michigan. I mean, John Cooper for years, when he was at Ohio State, had records like Ryan Day. He'd won 9, 10, 11 games a year, but he couldn't beat Michigan. Mm-hmm. And the fans were all over him. And I remember when they actually won the Rose Bowl one year, and in the presentation ceremony, he said, "I want to thank our fans because they're with us win or tie." This is back when there were still ties, mm-hmm. Which was sort of a reflection of how he felt about his fan base. And I'm sure Ryan Day has similar feelings that, look, my record is ridiculous, and yet all I ever hear about is Michigan. Now, James Franklin has a similar problem in that he hasn't been able to win big games.
Yeah.
You know, he plays top five teams, top 10 teams, and seems to always lose those games. And but I don't think he's under any kind of pressure like Ryan Day, because he doesn't have an arch rival that he's consistently losing to. He's losing to Ohio State consistently, but that's not the same kind of rivalry.
Yeah. I will say that all these games are going to be just fascinating. Tennessee's front four and their line, they got NFL players. So I could see Tennessee giving Will Howard and that running game some problems. But Penn State has to win, considering it. You know, it's SMU. It's their first year in the ACC, even though they had a great year. But, you know, they're not used
to
this kind
of year against the ACC.
I agree. I know that. I was kind of going that way. But SMU is not used to these kind of elements, playing in a stadium like this. It's going to be 19 degrees, possibly snowing. So Franklin's got a lot of pressure on him, too.
Yeah. I mean, SMU plays in, I think, a 32,000-seat stadium. So playing in 110,000-seat stadium will definitely be different. And the weather will be a factor. I'm not sure they played a cold weather game all year. Penn State should win, put it that way.
Yeah, they should.
Ohio State, I think, has a tougher out in Tennessee. You're right about Tennessee's defense. So if Ohio State were to lose, it would definitely be an upset, but it wouldn't be an upset on the level of Penn State losing SMU.
And do you give Indiana a shot in South Bend?
You know, yes and no. I think Notre Dame may have the most talent in the country. I'm still trying to figure out how they lost to Northern Illinois, because they hammered everybody else they played.
Yeah.
Now, they did not have a tough schedule. They only played three actual road games, because they played these phony Irish Cup games or whatever, where they play in a so-called neutral site and they call it a road game, including against Army and Navy. But they
did destroy them both.
They did. Like I said, they hammered everybody they've played, mm-hmm. Other than Northern Illinois. And I think they have the talent to win the whole thing. And that's not putting Indiana down, because Indiana's had a hell of a season, losing only to Ohio State. But I think playing at Notre Dame in that atmosphere, it's going to be a very tough out for Indiana.
Hey. Yeah. John, I don't know. Did you see the story just quickly yesterday about this quarterback from Vanderbilt that's getting another year of eligibility? Which, if this stays, would mean that junior college season, JUCO seasons, don't count against your college eligibility? So JUCO kids would then get 4 years?
Eric, this is such a mess with who's eligible, who's not, who gets a sixth year, who gets a seventh year. I mean, it's a complete fiasco. It's like, can't we just go back to 4 years? You know, we're past the pandemic now. 4 years, and you get a fifth year if you completely sit out, and that's it. And after 5 years, you're done. I always sympathize with the players. I'm glad to see they get a chance to play. But it's completely out of hand. I mean, you got guys playing seventh and eighth years, for crying out loud.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, this would totally change it. If JUCO years don't count against you, I mean, it's a massive
deal. You can play forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is kind of crazy. There's a kid, just switching over to college hoops for a second, Chris Caputo, I talk to all the time, head coach at GW. They won a game last night.
And what are they, 9-2?
I think they're 10-2. It's having a pretty good year.
But
one of their leading scorer last night, I think his last name is Drumgood, but I could have the name wrong. But he's this is his fourth school. GW is his fourth school, and I believe it's year six.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I mean, how old is he? He must be 24, 25.
Yeah, Longwood has a player named Michael Christmas who is in his fourth year at Longwood, but in his sixth year of college basketball, and he is 24.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not that uncommon. Joe Bamisil at VCU is in his fifth year of college ball, and he's been in four schools. And by the way, he graduated last spring.
Uh-huh.
He's a good student. So, yes, you see these situations occur. And in some cases, it's for the right reasons, and in other cases, it's for the wrong reasons.
John, I want to get your take on the Gottlieb situation. I don't know if you've paid attention at all. I guess he was going back and forth with Schefter a little bit. They were kind of needling each other. And then he lost to Michigan Tech, and people are saying, I actually think he's being unfairly criticized here because he said prior to the matchup, he said, I don't like to play nobody you. Anybody we play, we can lose to. Then he lost to him, and of course, he's trying to manage a radio show at the same time, which I think is insanity.
Right.
Just, I don't know, your thoughts on Gottlieb and what's going on there.
Well, if Doug wants to coach, he needs to coach. Mm-hmm. He's good on the radio, by the way.
I used
to have him on my old show on CBS. But if he wants to coach, he needs to coach because you can't get, you know, we used to joke years ago, that Jim Valvano, because he was bored at NC State after winning the national championship, should take the job as coach of the Knicks and coach the Knicks and NC State so that he wouldn't be bored.
Right.
But, you know, in reality, all college coaching jobs are, you know, up to your neck in work and in trying to prepare and in trying to build a team. And I don't see – Doug's a talented guy, but I don't see how – he can succeed at both jobs.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he did. He dropped nobody you. It kind of depends on how you take it. You know, the media obviously went after him. And then he had that media spat, you know, the social media spat with Adam Schefter last week.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because Schefter reported that Vic was talking to Sacramento State and they had a bunch of money. So I think
ending up going to Norfolk State.
He's going to Norfolk State. But I think you're right. I mean, Gottlieb, it's one thing to say that, but stay off social media and going back and forth with people. All right, just focus on your team.
Right, and that's part of today's world.
Yeah.
You know, when Mike Krzyzewski got on social media, he did it just so he could monitor what his players were saying. He never tweeted anything. And I think that's the best way to go. Keep abreast of your players and their thoughts because kids do, you know, become – too honest at times on social media, as do we all, I guess. That's why I stopped tweeting, because I ended up getting into debates with people that, you know, I have a life. I had other things I needed to do. And also, you know, I find X to be so negative nowadays. When I do still read it. Mm-hmm. But I don't participate. And I think, you know, Doug getting into a fight with Adam Schefter, I could understand getting into a fight with Adam Schefter, but it's definitely not the right thing for him to do.
What is your take on the Dan Hurley situation, all the attention he's getting? He says he's good for college basketball. I don't know if he is or isn't. I don't know. He just seems to be a great coach, but people don't seem to like a lot of the antics on the sideline and with the officials, et cetera.
Yeah, you know, Danny has always been very animated, let's put it that way, on the sidelines from, you know, his times coaching at Wagner in Rhode Island before he got to Connecticut. But now he's in more of the spotlight because he's a two-time national champion. Mm-hmm. So when he goes off the way he did in Hawaii, and he did go off, it's going to get attention, and it's going to get a lot of negative attention because people are looking at shoot down a guy who's had the kind of success he's had the last couple of years. I like Danny Hurley. I always have. I like the fact that he always had to play in Bobby's shadow. He was a good player at Seton Hall, but he wasn't anywhere near the player Bobby was. And he came out of it and became a very successful coach. He was successful at Wagner. He got Bobby involved in coaching. Bobby had sort of run away from basketball after his car accident because he was, to quote him, mourning his career, and he got Bobby involved in coaching. And then, you know, the two of them went on to Rhode Island, and then Bobby got the Buffalo job out of Rhode Island, and then both did very successful, although Bobby struggled a little bit at Arizona State. But I'm not sure I agree with Danny when he says his antics are good for college basketball. They're not. He has a certain responsibility as a national champion to behave in a certain way, and I think he needs to tone it down. I think he knows he needs to tone it down because he's a smart guy. But certainly what we saw in Hawaii was not the kind of thing you want to see from any coach, much less a two-time national champion coach.
All right, so before we let you go, just your thoughts on the Commanders-Eagles game on Sunday. And, you know, it's big for both teams because the Eagles are trying to win that number one overall seed and have that first round bye. So they got to keep winning because the Lions and Vikings also have the same record. And then if Commanders, obviously, if they lose and Atlanta beats the Giants, that means next week's game against Atlanta is pretty much a play-in game for the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, my last couple of predictions on the Commanders, that they would easily beat Dallas and easily beat New Orleans.
Yeah, didn't turn out too
exactly
good. Right?
Been on the money. But I think because they're familiar with the Eagles, they have a chance to compete and have a chance to win. I'm not saying they will win. I probably should say they'll win, just, you know, to keep my prediction streak alive. You know, obviously this is a tough game. They are playing at home, and that should help. I'll be curious to see how many Eagles fans are in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that trend has been going in the right direction this season, that you've had more Commanders fans in the stands than fans of the other team, which, of course, you know, the last couple of years, it was not that way. You know, I think it'll be a tough out, but I think they can compete in the game.
Yeah.
And by the way, before we go, we have to mention that the Ivy League has voted to let their football champion participate in postseason.
Oh, really?
For the first time ever. Yeah.
So what does that mean for them?
Well, it means that the champion will play in the FCS playoffs.
Okay.
And what they have to resolve is how to break ties, because this year three teams tied for the Ivy League championship. Now, if you have a two-team tie, you can just break the tie either by having a playoff game or by head-to-head, because they all play head-to-head.
Right.
But if you have a three-team tie, I don't know how they're going to break that. I hope it's not with a coin flip or something. Mm-hmm. But it's great that they're finally letting the kids participate.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stink of Truth podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stink of Truth podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sure.
Very cool. All right, John.
And I like to think that my ranting in the Ancient Eight about it had a huge influence.
Hey, you never know. You never know.
Yeah, right. You never know. Yeah.
All right. Sorry to hear about your father, ex-father-in-law, and try to have a good holiday.
Yeah, we will have a good holiday. You too. You guys have a good holiday too, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, bro.
All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, John.
Take care.
Yeah. So the current FCS playoffs are into the semifinals. It's all the Dakotas, pretty much. And you got South Dakota playing Montana State. South Dakota State's playing North Dakota State.
North Dakota State's the one that's normally silly, right? Is that the one that Carson and all those guys?
They're just, all the Dakotas, especially this year, they're just legit. So that's interesting. Anyway, that was John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom. And you can now get custom fit for the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway today. You can visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. When we come back, Mr. Bickle's Entertainment Page. Stay with us.